the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Welcome to Rant and Wrestling. This is your boy Doomsday 519. This is episode 1 something something something. Have we gotten to 200 yet? I don't think so. Not yet.
I don't think we've gotten to 200.
We're close. We're getting close, though. We're getting real close to 200. But, yeah, so, of course, you heard the voice of the man from the West Side. West Side Goth.
Yay, yay.
Yeah, so we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty, the meat of the thing, and talk about the shows of the weekend.
Yeah. And that's because there are a lot of shows this
weekend. A ton of them.
So I don't have this in Friday, Saturday, Sunday order, because that would have taken too much time. So I'm just going to go through what I have, because there's a lot of wrestling to choose from. I'm sure some of this will be streamed. I'm sure some of this is happening near you. And I'm sure some of this you're going to eventually buy. Or you're going to be like me and just like, I ain't got the money for this shit anymore. But if for something that will be free, because I actually bothered to save one of the advertisements for CMLL for their Friday show. So yeah, get ready for this sucker. And these usually stream on their Facebook page or Claro Sports. If you follow Lucha Blog on Twitter, he'll give you the links. And if you miss it, it'll probably be up on their YouTube channel the day after. CMLL is trying to, I think, has TV, but nobody in the U.S. watches them on television, so it doesn't matter. But as far as CMLL go, we got some matches here. We got Stukita, who's actually really good. Ultimo Dragoncino taking on Perothio and Mercutio. I think Mercutio's all right, but screw that match.
He named himself after a fucking Romeo and Juliet character.
I'm probably saying this wrong. It's probably Mercurio, but every time I see it, I think it's that guy from Romeo and Juliet. It's kind of hard, you know. It could be his name in Spanish. Who knows?
Yeah. You never know.
We got Fuego, Trident, Stigma, three really good guys. If you watch any of the New Japan CMLL shows, you've seen Fuego and you've seen Stigma a couple years. Wait, no, that's not Stigma. But yeah, you know Fuego is the one who dances.
Oh, yeah.
Taking on Tiger, Puma, and Kawato-san, who was on a Tuesday show. I think he scored his first pinfall on somebody, even though these are usually classic Lucha Libre matches, so that could have been just some random fall that didn't count towards the end anyway. Lucha Libre rules are fucking insane. We have a one-on-one match with Neblo Roja, who he was the guy who was sexy He-Man at the CMLL New Japan show, taking on Soberano. We got another six-man with Caristico, a.k.a. Sin Cara, a.k.a. Mystico 2, or 1, or whatever. But yeah, Caristico teaming up with the legend Atlantis, and Diamant Azul versus Euphoria, Gran Guerrero, and Cranio. I think Euphoria and Gran Guerrero are related. Actually, you know what? I bet you a lot of these guys are related to each other, and I'm, you know, ain't going to take the time to try to figure out who's who. Mystico, current. Dragon Lee, who is his brother, I know that for sure, teaming up with Angel de Roa versus Sanson, Quartero, and Forastero. A few of these guys you saw in the recent CMLL and BW shows, and they're actually, and here's a story news, they are building to an Angel de Roa versus Quartero mask versus mask match. Angel de Roa's brother, Neblo Roja, lost his mask last year. And then in the main event is the finals of some tournament, Incredible de Paraja 2018, as Volador Jr. and Ultimo Guerrero take on Rush and El Terrible. And I can tell you for a fact, Rush will not be taking the fall in this match, because the chances of Rush losing a match are slim, because Rush doesn't like to lose matches. He's that kind of wrestler. But yep, that one will be streaming on Friday night. Now, if you're in L.A., and you're a hardcore wrestling fan, you might have tried to buy tickets to PWG's Neon Nights. You ready for this one?
Oh, yeah.
All right, first off, Matt Sydal is on an injury, so...
Again.
Yes. So they've changed his match. He was supposed to wrestle Adam Brooks. Now Brody King makes his PWG debut, taking on Adam Brooks. If Brody King's from California, what this means is he'll be making his PWG debut and then will never return, because PWG rarely hires California indie wrestlers, despite being a California company. Next up, Dalton Castle makes his return to take on Joey Janela. We got David Starr taking on Travis Banks. We have Flip Gordon making his PWG debut to sell everybody on a flat earth. Seriously, he's taking on Zack Sabre Jr. Keith Lee faces Matthew Riddle, and in the main event, Trent challenges his best friend, Chuck Taylor, for the PWG World title.
Nice.
Yes. That's off of their Twitter page, because that's how they roll. Also on Friday, I pulled this one up, we have the Wrestling Revolver. We haven't really covered these guys, but there's several major people who are always on these shows. I think the company is run by Sami Callihan and OI4K. I could be wrong, but they are in Ohio, so we'll see. Anyway, the show's called Friday the 16th, Naito Takes Dayton, a reference to Friday the 13th, Jason Takes Manhattan.
Yeah.
Not a good reference.
Yeah, it sounds pretty bad.
Yes. So, they actually bothered to put the full card up. Cool, because some companies don't do that. We have something called an Open Invite Scramble Championship match. I guess that's a title where you defend it against five people in a scramble match. So, they don't have the full names on these guys, so I'll just go by with the names here. Palmer, who's the champion. This other guy who I can't make out his name. Is it Money? Is it Monix? It's probably Monix. Some guy whose last name is Rice. Some guy whose last name is Radrick versus Kurt Stallion versus Gregory Iron versus Myron Reed versus KG, I guess. I don't know. Then we got Jessica Havoc versus Shotzi Blackheart. I haven't seen Shotzi Blackheart wrestle, but I like her look. A triple threat match for the tag titles, Besties in the World versus Zero Gravity versus a tag team called Alienated Youth. I don't know who they are. Shane Strickland versus Trevor Lee.
Ooh.
Then we got AR Fox versus Jason Cade, who, because there's also a Jason Kincaid, I always get them confused when I see their names on lineups. We got Brian Cage missing a PWG show and being from California, no surprise, taking on Clayton Gaines. We have a six-man tornado match with OI4K versus Ace Romero, and the MJF, and another flat earther, Moose. Is it Moose a flat earther?
I don't know. He could be. I wouldn't be surprised. He's not that bright.
No. Because I know, I think ACH was tweeting Moose when the Flip Gordon D came out.
Oh, I think they always joke about his Moose's intelligence altogether.
No. Alright, and in the main event, we have Tetsuya Naito versus the guy who will be coming up in the news later for some serious shit. I don't know how much he's involved in it. But yes, Naito versus Big Mike Elgin.
Oh, God.
Yep, they advertised Mike Elgin on a show. Yeah. I'm sure the match will be great, because they did have a five-star classic early last year, but
yeah.
You may not be feeling watching a Michael Elgin match, which, if you don't, that is not your fault.
Yeah.
All right.
Like, what do you do with him? Like stay silent or like boo the shit out of him?
Oh! There is some major news that is based around Michael Elgin, even though he's technically not involved. Serious fucking news. I don't know if should I get into that now?
Might as well.
Okay. Do you have Powerbomb TV?
Powerbomb TV? Yeah. Yes. I do, actually. I do.
The co-founder, Adam Lash, was just fired.
Really?
Powerbomb TV is currently trying to negotiate with Smart Mark Video and IWA Mid-South to use their video license, their video archive. Because IWA Mid-South, being one of the oldest indie promotions that still running,
yeah,
also has a ton of video of, you know, guys like Cesaro, CM Punk, Cassius Ohno. You know, they have one of probably the best indie video libraries, right?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Adam Lash, I think he was one of the guys who didn't want IWA Mid-South on the thing, but they got on. And he publicly said he didn't want to air the match with Michael Elgin that IWA Mid-South booked. But Elgin was actually brought over, I believe, originally in the States. Like, IWA Mid-South was one of the first statewide promotions where he got his name out. So, you know, Rodden sees him as one of his boys. So, Powerbomb TV at first didn't seem to, seemed to be doing, like, all right, fine, we'll try to stop it, you know, not air it. But when it became clear, they, you know, IWA Mid-South said, you guys are going to air this match, you know, because you're trying to get our archive. Well, we want, you know, our whole show. And Powerbomb TV initially was like, you know, we don't step in to deal with what airs on the thing. This became a big thing, and Adam Lash is now gone from Powerbomb TV.
Wow.
Over IWA Mid-South refusing to let them cut a Michael Elgin match.
Huh. So, so basically, Powerbomb TV sided with Elgin?
They sided with IWA Mid-South and Smart Mark Video, because, well, Smart Mark Video can only give them the arc, the thing with agreement, because they own it, but they also have but IWA Mid-South owns it. So it's like two ownership things for that stuff.
Yeah.
The other people behind Powerbomb TV felt that it was more important to try to continue growing Powerbomb TV this way than it was to stand by the guy, the co-founder, who apparently did a lot of stuff for them in this regard. So he is out. The IWA Mid-South show, whenever that airs, will be aired in full. And Michael Elgin, even though I don't know if he's made any comments to this regard, kind of just sort of got somebody fired from their job. So, some people have already quit Powerbomb TV. I can understand why, but at the same time, you don't have too many options with a streaming service that airs different wrestling promotions.
Yeah, you don't. You really don't.
Yeah, you have the WWN Network, and the one time I used them, the video thing, the bandwidth was so bad that we basically could only use the internet for those 3 hours.
Yeah, because Powerbomb TV's quality is actually pretty good.
Yeah, like, and I don't know about like High Spot it? Network's quality.
Have you used Powerbomb TV before?
No, I was thinking about it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Their quality's pretty good. Like,
all right. Yeah, that's what I hear. And you know, they're airing a lot of indie content. So, yeah this is a kind of a bullshit thing, but I you know, we had to pretty much talk about it. All right. Also, since we're on Elgin, this is sort of based on him, even though he might not be at these next two shows, but he is working as Naito's travel agent for his weekend here. So he will probably be backstage at all the shows he's not on. All right. Here we go. Because, you know, AAW's website is kind of garbage. So Naito next is at the AAW show on Saturday. It's called Showdown. They only have one match announced, and that is Sami Callihan versus Tetsuya Naito. They're also Teddy Hart, David Starr, Jeff Cobb, Trevor Lee, Zema Ion, and ACH, who's the champion, should be there. So card subject to change. We'll see what's going on. And the other show that Naito is on this week. And Naito is missing some shows, and I'll get into that in a moment. All right. I was surprised by how many shows are happening this weekend. I figured everybody was going to take the weekend off and see Black Panther.
I'm going to see that shit twice. I'm going to see that on Friday, and then I'm going to see that bitch on Monday. Actually, I may see that shit on Saturday if I feel like it.
I'm going to go Saturday with my uncle and maybe my mom, but that's the plan. All right, so, okay, here we go. The other show is that Sunday. It's Elgin's former wrestling promotion before he divested himself to a couple of his students and apparently his lawyer.
I don't even know what that means, I'm not going to lie.
Divested?
Yeah, man, I'm not that bright.
Divested just means you basically removed yourself from operations.
Oh, gotcha.
It's basically the opposite of invested.
Oh,
got rid of the company to not be involved, though technically it's run by his students, so there is, of course, a connection, but that isn't stopping several wrestlers from working there. I guess, you know, with Elgin no longer booking and in charge, it's not that much of an issue because Jeff Cobb is actually going to return to Elgin's former promotion in a few months anyway. No hard feelings, right? I wish they had the whole card thing listed here, maybe. But we do have the main event, which is which is basically AR Fox versus Tetsuya Naito. We'll also be getting like several matches, including the debuts of Trevor Lee and Lufisto. Lufisto will be, if I remember right, will be taking on Elgin's main female star, Savannah Stone. Elgin has like at least four women wrestlers, has trained at least four women's wrestlers who are working right now on the indie scene. But Savannah Stone's the one that's that I've heard. I haven't seen anything from her, but hers is the name that keeps popping up. All right, let's see. What other shows we got this week? And we got, here we go. I think this one is Saturday. It's, it's National Pro Wrestling Day from Chikara at the Chikara Wrestle Factory.
Oh, really?
Saturday? Yeah. Huh?
Is this Saturday, really?
Yes.
I didn't hear anything about that. And I follow, Chikara on Twitter and shit.
Oh, well, let's see. The event is free to attend to the public, so if you want to go, that's probably why you didn't hear about it, because it's free, so they don't want too many people to show up. They're also raising money to support hurricane relief in Puerto Rico.
Oh, okay.
So, in case you want to go down there, here's the card. There's actually a couple of surprises. First off is the Young Lions Cup as the Whisper, who was posing as Ophidian for a while, defends his title against a guy named Tony Deppen, who I guess is one of the GCW guys.
Yeah, Tony Deppen was originally... he used to originally, wrestle for CZW, a good amount, last year. But then after a while, he kind of jumped ship.
GCW seems to have become, has gotten that CZW buzz to themselves.
GCW's basically taken a lot of the buzz from CZW since.
Yeah. And there's going to be another GCW reference coming up in a moment. But before that, we have Rory Gulak versus Gran Akuma. Gran Akuma's back with the company. That actually might be a pretty good match. We got the tag team, two of the members of Cyberhawks 2000, taking on Penelope Ford and Joey Janela.
Nice.
Yeah. The Proletariat Boar of Moldova versus the Blank, who was, what's his name? Not Hype Rockwell. The other one, Race Jackson. He lost the match that against Race or Hype, where the loser had to put on a wrestling mask. So now the Blank looks like a terrible old school DC villain, and I kind of dig it.
Yeah.
All right, the Beach Bums versus Cornelius Krumholz and Sonny DeFarge, Ophidian versus Frightmare, the tag titles, the Closers versus Los Ice Cream, who are the champions, and then Ulog the Usurper challenging Juan Francisco de Cornell. It's actually a pretty decent card. But I think you'll be seeing a little bit of a connection between GCW and Chikara. Not a major connection, but a minor one. And I guess I'll do it now because there was another announcement to Joey Janela's Spring Bake brought to you by GCW.
Oh, yeah.
And that is that Mike Quackenbush has answered the challenge of David Starr. So that is the second match that will be on that show. Since all the matches are going to be first time matchups. So yeah, you might, and these are all Philly guys, and lately Chikara's been bringing in a little bit more surprise stars every once in a while because they used to do that quite a bit and then they stopped for a few years.
Yeah.
But last year they would, they brought in Moose and some other guys who you don't normally see and Zack Sabre Jr. every once in a while. That whole Johnny Kitt invitation also had Matt Riddle in it too, so seeing a lot more of the other guys showing up in Chikara, almost like the old school Chikara. I'm actually tempted to watch some of the tournament shows this year. All right, like I said, there's a ton of fucking shows because we also have a GCW show. It's Jimmy Blood's birthday party. This one's on Friday
too.
Jimmy
Lloyd.
Jimmy Lloyd, yeah, Jimmy. I said Jimmy Blood because he's covered in blood in this picture.
Oh yeah,
Freudian, but I mean, he might be all the time, huh?
Freudian slip.
Yeah, So, what's his show got? His show got the International Dream match of Jody Fleisch versus Teddy Hart versus Jack Evans. He's got the first time ever with the King Nick Gage versus the unprofessional zombie princess Jimmy Jacobs.
Nice.
He's got the monster Abyss taking on the bulldozer Matt Tremont. He's got a fucking death match is what this is called. A fucking death match. Los Mazizos, Cyclope and Meadow Extremo versus Alex Colon and the Plaguebringer Marcus Crane. The GCW Tag Team Champion match with the Rejects, John Wayne Murdoch and Reed Bentley versus Storm of Entrails, which is Dan O'Hare and supposed neo-Nazi Schlack. Another guy, Adam Lash, did not like because I think they've aired some GCW matches shows on Powerbomb TV.
Yeah.
First time ever, Darby Allin versus the New Age Punisher B-Boy. We have an aerial assault match with Unbreakable Andy, Tony Deppen, Mark Queen, and I've seen one or two Mark Queen matches. I actually think that guy's pretty good. I'd like to see more with him. Matt Travis, Jason Kincaid, that guy. And not Jason Cade, but Jason Kincaid. Eli Everfly, and I don't know if this is a return match or not, but this is the first time I've seen his name in a while, Colby Carino.
Oh, shit, damn. Yeah, I haven't seen him in forever.
Yeah, hopefully he is clean. So, good on him. And maybe he'll have a second shot at New Japan because, and I'm jumping to news here, they are open and taking applications for their U.S. camp starting this weekend. Yeah, so all you aspiring wrestlers, you have that. All right, just three more shows. One, we're going to Canada for.
Oh,
I actually
have
the Alpha One of Wrestling. And maybe their website will pop up. Or not. Come on. Another website that takes too long to load. All right, here we go. The show is Keep the Dream Alive. We have some sort of six-way match with a bunch of guys, including Space Monkey. I don't know what any of these other dudes. Tag match with Gregory Iron, his tag partner, Something Green, a group called the Western Mid Connection, and the Meme Team. Then we have this match, Ethan Page versus Josh Briggs versus Kobe Durst versus Mark Willer. We got Eddie Kingston versus BMD. Shane Sabre versus Alex Daniels is a title match. One of the titles. The main title, the alpha title, is Ricky Shane Page defending against Alessandro Del Bruno. And in the main event, Josh Alexander versus Abyss.
Ooh. Huh.
And finally, some shows that you, if you don't feel like going to see all Black Panther every day next week, you might be interested in one of these shows. But I got the Evolve shows right here. First up, Evolve, number 100, February 17th, Queens, New York. We have a preliminary match threat, Darby Allin versus Jason Kincaid versus Jarek 120 with Candy Cartwright. Now, I don't mean this as any offense, but Candy Cartwright does kind of sound like a 1980s adult film actress name.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm not saying that insulting. You do you. You do what you need to do. It's a catchy fucking... It also sounds like a female character from comic books in, like, the 1940s and 50s, too. So it can go either way. You know they love those alliterations in comics back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
We got The Future Is Now match number one, Matt Riddle versus James Drake, and The Future Is Now match number two, Tracy Williams with Stokely Hathaway versus Anthony Henry. Of all tag team match, we got the champions, Chris Dickinson and Jaka defending against The End. WWN Championship match, Keith Lee defends versus AR Fox. And in the main event, Zack Sabre Jr. defends, I recently did a WWE tryout, Austin Theory with Priscilla Kelly. So, yay! And finally, the one by you.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go. February 18th in Joppa. Oh, and congratulations on those two police going to jail.
Oh, yeah. Convicted. Oh, there's definitely going to be more, too.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
But they got a whole squad of general... those guys.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, when I saw it, I'm like, oh, only two so far? All right. First off, we have General Manager William Regal will make a special appearance and also be available for pictures and autographs before the event.
He's always going to Joppa for some reason.
Yeah, maybe he hates New York. Maybe he likes Baltimore. Maybe he lives in Baltimore.
And it's not even Baltimore. It's like fucking... It's like miles away from Baltimore. Plenty of miles away.
Well, maybe it's a easier drive from where he is than taking an airplane. All right, signed to appear, Jason Kincaid, Jericho120 with Candy Cartwright, Kyle the Beast, and others to be added. We have, there's three preliminary bouts. We also have an MCW showcase match with Dante Cabanero versus Ken Dixon.
That's right, Ken, those are MCW guys, yeah.
Yeah, MCW showcase match. Yeah, and then we got the special challenge match, Fred Yehi versus Shane Mercer. We got the grudge tag team match, James Drake and Anthony Henry versus The End. Four-way and elimination match, Matt Riddle, who I guess since I already made some GCW references, Matt Riddle is supposed to be hosting his own GCW show during that WrestleMania weekend. It's called Bloodsport.
Nice.
And his match is going to be a knockout or submission match. You want to guess who it's against?
Who? Is it an MMA guy?
No, it's a wrestler guy, but it's kind of the gimmick, I think, for some of the shows is going to be MMA versus wrestlers. That's what he says. We'll see how many MMA versus wrestler matches he can pull together. But he is taking on a guy that Chris Hero recently took a shot at because someone posted a gif of him versus this guy, and he said, what's the opposite of professional about him? And that is the notorious Loki.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah, that's right. There's that beef going on.
Yeah, there's also supposed to be a hype video that's really good. I haven't watched it, but they said that shit was straight out of the 80s. So, check it out. Four-way elimination match. Matt Riddle versus Austin Theory versus Darby Allin versus Jaka. Non-title special attraction match. Zack Sabre Jr. versus Chris Dickinson. No holds bar non-title match. Keith Lee versus Tracy Williams with Stokely Hathaway and Dom Guarini. All right. And that's it so far. And since we're just going random booking shows, we also have one of the first major bookings for the WrestleCon Super Show was just announced today, and that is The Best Friends versus The Golden Lovers, Trent and Chuck Taylor versus Kota Ibushi and Kenny Omega.
That is going to be fantastic.
Yes, and I don't have the cards for these, but if you're in Australia, there is a New Japan tour. It has a bunch of Australian guys on it, too. You can look up the few matches they've announced on their Twitter, which leads to us actually talking about wrestling that we either watched or knew. And then we're going to start with the New Japan New Beginning show in Osaka. Did you get to see this?
Yeah, I saw some of it.
All right. It opened up with the trial series. Yuji Nagata defeated Katsuya Kitamaru in his sixth match. This was the best of the trial series. I don't know when Kitamaro's seventh match is happening. We'll find out, I'm sure, soon enough. We have Yoshinobu, Kanemaru, and El Desperado defeated Roppongi 3K in a non-title match, so they'll probably get a title shot. Togi Makabe, Michael Elgin, Kushida, and Ryusuke Taguchi defeated Suzuki-gun when Makabe pinned Taka Michinoku, and now it's going to be official Makabe versus Minoru Suzuki for the IC title. We had Jay White, or as Trent and Chuck Taylor refer to him as, Knife Pervert. Which is even funnier now because they will be teaming with Jay White at least one night during the... Well, Chuck Taylor will be teaming with him two nights during the ROH New Japan shows, which the cards have been announced. I'll get to that. I think that's not next week. Yeah, it's next weekend, so I'll do that next Wednesday. Yeah, so Knife Pervert, Tomohiro Ishii, and Toru Yano defeated Juice Robinson, David Finlay, and Toa Hanera. That was a pretty good match. I mean, so far these matches have been pretty good, but nothing really to talk about. But there was news, because after that match, Rey Mysterio appeared to challenge Jushin Thunder Liger to a one-on-one match at Long Beach. Nice. Woo! Yep. This will be their first match in, like, 20 fucking years. Yep. Then we had all the singles matches. Special singles match. Bushi defeated Ghetto. This was a pretty good match. Then we had Tetsuya Naito defeated Yoshihashi. This was also a pretty good match, but we all knew that Naito was going to win it. backstage, though, Naito was attacked by Taichi. Taichi maybe is looking to move up to heavyweight, so...
Oh, God.
I guess they needed... Yeah, so I guess they needed more heavyweight.
Heavyweight division, come on.
Yeah, I guess they needed more singles heavyweight guys for Suzuki-gun because they got the heavyweight tag team. They got Iizuka, who is really just a random tag wrestler. And then they have Zack Sabre Jr., who's, you know, not full-time. So maybe they were like, we need a full-time heavyweight to work with him. So Taichi, being the biggest of the juniors, I guess was the obvious choice. So we'll see how that works out. Naito actually just beat Taichi at the Taka Taichi Mania special show that Taka and Taichi put together. All right. In what was probably the best match of the night, the junior heavyweight title, Will Ospreay successfully defended his title against Romu Takahashi. This match was crazy, very cool. And then some asshole took a GIF and then tweeted it out, Disco Inferno or Jim Cornette or some asshole. And Lariato was like, I fucking hate this shit. Because people are assholes.
Yeah, they're the worst. God damn it.
Yeah. In a match that was disappointing, but the last half of it was good, for the most part. Hiroki Goto successfully defeated Evil. I kind of agree with the opinion that while Evil is probably a better sprint wrestler, like in a good 15-minute match, he could do a lot, but when stretched out, he's still got to work on his pacing a bit more. He likes to move fast, so when matches get slow, it kind of hurts him. But still, it was a pretty good match. The closing stretch was the best. And then in the main event, Kazuchika Okada successfully defended his title against Sanada. Even though I think we all predicted Okada would win, the Sanada looked really good in this match. And for like a few moments, I actually thought Sanada could possibly pull up the upset, which he didn't. So now our boy Okada is tied with Yuji Nagata for most title. Is tied with Nagata for the second most title defenses in a single reign, which is, I believe, 11. One more, and he ties with Tanahashi at 12. And that one should be the New Japan Cup. At least, I believe. Let me double-check this shit real quick. I believe he's had 11 victories. So... It's interesting, though, you know, because they spread the titles so much out that you just don't realize it. Where do you go? Tanahashi still has the but also Okada does have the longest reign total combined, I believe. So congratulations on that one. Where is the history at, you motherfucker? You're going to make this difficult for me. Stupid Wikipedia. All right. Yeah, okay. So, that's that, and then, we'll do the Honor Rising shows next weekend, but you will be seeing some Golden Lovers action and some Bullet Club shenanigans amongst themselves. It'll be interesting. Unless you want to talk about it now.
Let's talk about it now.
Alright, then, because they do have some interesting Ring of Honor guys showing up, but I think we'll go with the surprises. I mean, first of all, most of the Tongans are going to be... in fact, the entire Tongan faction of Bullet Club will be at these Honor Rising shows, even though most of those guys don't work Ring of Honor. But, and when I say the Tongan faction, I include Yujiro Takahashi and Chase Owens.
Nice.
Because Yujiro's teaming up quite a bit with Hiko Leo, and Chase teams up a bunch with the Tongan guys. So they'll be on it. But representing Ring of Honor, you're going to have Cheeseburger! Going to sell out all his t-shirts. He'll be teaming with Delirious and Jushin Thunder Liger on two nights. This might be an interesting match. You'll have Finley and Juice Robinson taking on Matt and Nick Jackson, which is technically a heavyweight versus junior heavyweight match, but it's Ring of Honor, so that doesn't matter. Flip Gordon will be making his debut. He will be in a triple threat match on Friday night against Kushida and Hiromu Takahashi. Then we will have, interesting six-man match, as Ryusuke Taguchi teamed with the returning Jay Lethal and the returning ROH World Heavyweight Champion Dalton Castle versus Chucky T, Trent Beretta, and Knife Pervert Jay White. I'm going to keep calling him that.
And then in a match that I saw somebody on one of the forums was like, he said, this is the only match I need to know. This show is going to be awesome. Hirooki Goto defends the NEVER Openweight Championship against the Beer City Bruiser.
Ew.
Yeah, that's such a strange match, right?
Yeah, man. I don't get it.
Yeah. And then in the main event, we have the Golden Lovers teaming up with a member of the Tongan faction of Bullet Club, Chase Owens, a.k.a. Kenny Omega's occasional tag team partner, versus Cody, Hangman Page, and Marty Scurll. That's the Friday show? Yes. And then there's the Saturday show, which has some other interesting matches. A one-on-one between Toa Hinar and the Beer City Bruiser. Oh my god. Taguchi and Flip Gordon teaming up against Bushi and Hiromu Takahashi. But we have the open six-man tag title thing. Burger, Delirious, and Jushin Thunder Liger versus Loa, Tonga, and Bad Luck Fale. We got Hung Bucks, a.k.a. Hangman Page, Young Bucks taking on Chucky T, Yoshihashi, and Jay White. And that's because Beretta will be challenging Dalton Castle for the world title. And then the main event is Kota Ibushi and Kenny Omega, the Golden Lovers versus Marty Scurll and Cody. Marty Scurll tweeted out that he did not agree to any of these matches.
Wow.
But those are your shows next weekend. I'll remind you that there are shows next weekend, but I won't go through them. So, we talked a lot about wrestling, and we're going to talk about some more, because do you want to talk about Raw, SmackDown, and 205 Live, or do you just want to...
Yeah, 205 Live, they had a couple matches. Akira Tozawa faced Mark Andrews. Mark Andrews ended up winning that match. So Akira is out of the tournament, and the main event of 205 Live ended
up being... But I just want to say, notice that the Asians are all out of the 205 Live tournament in the first round.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
Is it because the Asians won all the Royal Rumbles, so there had to be a failure or something like that?
I guess so.
They're like, we can't have all the Asians winning matches.
And it makes sense because Akira was already a Cruiserweight champion, so...
Yeah.
And they're trying to, like, kind of start brand new a little bit, in a sense.
Yeah, I'm actually tempted to go back and watch all the shows because the reviews have been so far really good.
Yeah,
I did watch the Cedric Alexander Grand
Metallic match. Yeah, the matches have been good. The crowds have been like dead, especially this one. Gulak versus Tony Nese was actually pretty decent. Gulak, especially towards the end, really ramped up the aggression on that one. He ended up picking up the victory. So
yeah, I saw some people were really happy about that.
Yeah.
He's saying that he was doing the Suzuki running drop kick thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Or how he just held Nice and was just slapping the shit out of him for a while.
He was definitely... Yeah, there was a lot of slaps going on, too, in that match.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did the drop kick shit, and they're like, hey, he left his feet. He's like, shut up, it's a drop kick. It's not a dive.
Yeah. He didn't go to the top rope and do a flip.
Yeah.
Drop kicks are old school. That counts. Yeah. They're fine. Though, when the drop kick was first introduced, people thought somebody was trying to kill the business.
Oh, man. No, wrestling has always been funny.
Yes.
But, yeah, that was 205 Live. Raw had... Raw ended up having a few matches. I think... They add, like, the main event was a five-way for the last spot in the Elimination Chamber, and ended up being some double pin shit that put Finn Balor and Seth Rollins in the match now. So now it's seven guys in the chamber. I guess three guys will start or some shit like that. So.
Well, while I think it's a dumb idea, I am a mark for the Elimination Chamber match, so the more the merrier.
Yeah.
I don't fucking care. It's like, look, it's a dumb idea. But I fucking love the Elimination Chamber. I do.
Yeah, man. So, who else ended up going down? Elias was playing his guitar. Then Braun Strowman came out.
and with a freaking like bass, sang his song, came down, beat the shit out of Elias, and then broke the freaking bass on his back. So that was some dope stuff. SmackDown didn't pay too much attention to it, besides the fact that Dolph Ziggler and Baron Corbin are now added to the multi-man match. So now it's a five-way match for the world title.
You know, I don't mind it being a multi-man match, but has AJ Styles had a one-on-one as the champion?
He hasn't had one in a while, or if at all during this reign.
And that is stupid. It's fucking AJ Styles. What the hell?
Yeah, it's bullshit.
I haven't watched any of the mixed, the mixed match challenge.
Yeah.
But congratulations to Rusev Day.
Yeah, Lana ended up picking up her first fucking victory, on the roster.
See, I was worried because they've been treating Elias as, you know, larger than Rusev, and Bayley is Bayley, and she's done a lot. So I was like, Rusev Day should win because they're an actual couple,
yeah.
But I don't know. So I was happy they won.
Because you know, all the actual couples have won so far, right?
Oh, I believe so. That's good. But every time Rusev wins, it's just another glorious Rusev Day. So
yeah, that's right. Yeah, and it's not Valentine's Day; it's Rusev Day. And Monday, Monday will not be President's Day. It will be Rusev Day.
Thank God we got rid of Valentine's Day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, yeah, that seemed the only other things that really mattered. One thing that people were trying to say some dumb shit about. All right, so Usos cut, like, a vignette promo shit or whatever. And then it switched to backstage where the promo was actually on the TV. And the Bludgeon Brothers smashed the TV, right?
Yeah.
And the TV fell apart. And then somebody said, "Oh, that TV's fake." It was clearly showing the video on the TV before they smashed it. How is the TV fake? People have never seen, like, the inside of a TV or not realize that when you smash one of these, like, fucking new TVs, it doesn't fucking shatter because it's not glass. But I guess because they saw that it was like all flimsy and shit, he automatically assumed that it was fake. It was the dumbest shit ever.
Well, that does sound pretty dumb.
Yeah, it was so fucking dumb. It's whatever.
Like, I mean, I haven't seen the inside of one of these new TVs myself, but I know it's not glass.
Yeah, I mean, it's not fucking obvious. Yeah. I think they expected to see a whole bunch of wires and shit, but it wasn't.
Nah, we've come a while in technology. Because while we're not spending that money to fix diseases and save the planet, we're spending that money to keep us docile before we eventually rise up and kill Donnie Trumpet.
Oh, most definitely.
Oh, by the way,
hey, Donnie Trumpet's an actual person, man. You can't say that.
I said Donnie Trumpet. I don't know who you're talking about.
No, you said Donnie Trumpet.
Yes, Donnie Trumpet's
a real
person.
Actual person. It's not Donald Trump. There's an actual person named Donnie Trumpet. Like, he's a fucking musician that does
stuff. Oh, there is?
That does stuff with Chance the Rapper.
Oh, well, I said that because apparently Donald's family hated nicknames, so it was Donnie, and I think they fucking, they were making fun of him on the dub, because I finally listened to their number 300 episode about Donald Trump, which was a two-parter.
Yeah.
Trust me, if you hate Donald Trump now, that'll make you hate him even more. And they left out shit, too.
Oh, did they include the mob ties?
No, they did it without the mob ties and some of the other stuff, and it still was the most anger-inducing, frustrating thing I'd ever listened to.
Wow.
Like, and I knew it, but I guess it went with stuff that was technically not alleged, right? Stuff that was straight-up stated. Well, they did actually do a little bit of the mob ties because they talked about his buddy, a little bit that he had a lawyer who, you know, defended the mob, and how his casino bent over backwards for a known mob guy. So they got to that far because that was stuff that was, you know, expressly written down and technically provable.
Huh.
So they stuck to everything that was, you know, essentially in court documents.
Wow.
Like, there's an entire bit when he was building one of the, when he had them building, a, you know, one of whatever buildings, and he had them hire Polish immigrants so they didn't have to pay him that much. And then Donald Trump apparently likes to stop paying people partway through. So they stopped paying these Polish immigrants, many of which were living at the site.
Oh, that makes sense. Polish- that makes sense. That's why, like, when they came to Puerto Rico, they fucking stopped. They stopped aid, even though they still fucking needed shit.
Yes, he would pull the shit, and then when lawsuits were brought to him, he would basically fight it. It took years before the those Polish immigrants ever got a dime from the money that was owed to them. And because and it's always stylized, since it's a settlement, he never loses. So he never looks at it as a loss. So when he says, I win, all, you know, I never lose, he, because court cases, those kind of settlement cases don't work like that, he can say that bullshit. But he also got into a habit of not paying his lawyers after a while, because that's the kind of asshole he is. I was like, the people, he was paying his lawyers to fight these lawsuits against people he wasn't paying, and then he wouldn't pay the lawyers. Like, I'm just like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And there's actually a wrestling reference in this. I could bring it back. Because apparently when he was a kid, there was a wrestler who was really popular. And he would always call him by his the wrong name. And he would never admit that he was wrong for calling that wrestler by the wrong name. He stood firmly that he was calling him by the right name.
Wow.
Because he refuses to ever admit he's wrong. But, yeah, that was one of those things. They got halfway through one of them, and they're like, how long is this, an hour? 3 minutes? Shit, I'll find a stopping point. We're going to have to make this a two-parter. But it's so frustrating, because they got to a part where this guy was suing him, Donald Trump, for not giving finished paying him, for just delivering paint. And the same guy who was in the middle of a lawsuit still fucking voted for Trump for president.
Wow.
And you just listen to this, and you go, "My the little faith I had in humanity is just been murdered by this motherfucker." You're sitting there suing fucking Donald Trump, and you still vote for him for president. I don't get it. Oh, and I also forgot he had a second, what's her name, Melania is not his second wife.
Melania is not his second wife? He had another one between Melania and Ivana?
Yeah, and he doesn't really, and they were making fun of the fact he wasn't following his, that daughter on, the daughter he had with that woman on Twitter, because one of the comedians is like, my friend was going through his follower list and found out he didn't follow his daughter, Tiffany Trump, and for like every day for a while, he kept tweeting at him, why don't you follow your daughter? Why don't you follow
Tiffany? That's a shame. It's so tragic, her, because like, she's like the forgotten stepchild, but she'll still stand by the family just because... she doesn't want to screw up her whatever that may be possibly owed to her.
Yeah, but I think he doesn't talk about the second wife because she straight cheated on him with the bodyguard. Yeah, they got caught by the police. Like I said, all of this was proven because the police reported this. They caught them on a beach.
Wow.
And that was Trump's personal bodyguard, too. But and Donald Trump was actually his older brother was the guy who was supposed to take over the company, and that just didn't happen. So yeah, whatever. But oh, by the way, his father's middle name is Christ.
What type of like fucking
bullshit is that? And his father was a KKK guy, so you know there's that.
Oh wow, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, and they got into the whole racial discrimination with housing, too.
Of course.
Yeah, it was pretty fucking annoying. But, and once again, I mean, well, Donald Trump's been involved in wrestling, so who cares? Wasn't WrestleMania 5 at Trump Tower?
I don't know.
I think it was at Trump Tower. I think one of the WrestleManias was at Trump Tower. Probably one of the bad ones, too. Let me look that up. WrestleMania... Trump Tower. I'm thinking about emailing the dollop and telling him to do something on, because they asked for suggestions. I want him to do Jake the Snake Roberts, but then I thought that might be way too depressing.
Mm-hmm.
No, I guess it was WrestleMania 5. Or no, it was at a Trump thing, maybe. It was in Atlanta. No, okay, it wasn't. I thought it was. Whatever. Why the fuck did this come up? Oh, Oh, it was at Trump Plaza in that area, I guess. Whatever. And it had celebrity guests, Donald Trump Jr. Or Donald Trump, yeah. Alright, so there you go. I guess do we just do news now?
Alright, yeah, let's get to the news.
Okay, let's see here. Already did Powerbomb TV thing. I already did the So only a few things. Do you remember who Mari Apache is?
Yeah, one of the Apache part of the Apache family in Mexico.
Yeah. She's the oldest daughter of Gran Apache, the stepdaughter of Lady Apache.
Yeah.
Anyway, her daughter, Natsumi, is right now in Japan. She's gonna be working with Stardom, training and learning to wrestle.
Cool.
So another third generation wrestler jumping in. And yeah. So that's pretty cool. And we're starting to see now a lot more daughters of female wrestlers, because for a long time we never really had like second generation women, let alone second generation women whose the first generation was, you know, a mom.
Yeah.
So or at least tied to wrestling somehow. So that's interesting. Natsumi, though, doesn't really strike me as a Hispanic name, so, well, I don't know. I was trying to look up if her father was also a wrestler, because, yeah, I know Fabi Apache was married to a wrestler, but I couldn't find anything on Natsumi's dad, so maybe he's not in the wrestling business. Mari Apache's the one that comes home with all the clotheslines and shit. So, but yeah, that might be pretty good. Speaking of women's wrestling, I tried watching Seedling and Oz Academy for the first time. I actually really liked the Seedling show. There was a match with Arisa Nakajima and I want to say Masaki Oto that is right now my female match of the year. That shit was tight. Really fucking good. And there was a couple Ioka, there was an Ioka Hamada match against Yoshiko. That was the woman, you remember a few years ago, there was the thing in Stardom with the match that turned into a shoot fight?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Yoshiko. She was the one who attacked ACT. I didn't know who it was. I looked her up because she was on both the shows I watched. So, on one hand, I don't like her. On the other hand, she's actually a pretty good wrestler. The Oz Academy show I didn't like as much. And the main event had a weird set of rules, but there were some good wrestlers in it. But yeah, the Joshi scene, lots of good wrestling. Have you seen this? Matt Fitchett and David Arquette were trading tweets on Twitter.
Matt who?
Matt Fitchett is challenging David Arquette to a match, and David Arquette might actually do it.
And who is this Matt guy?
Matt Fitchett?
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
Isn't he? He's one of the besties in the world, right? Or is that the besties in the world, the tag team?
Yeah, I don't know who those are.
Oh, he's been wrestling for years in AAW, AIW, a ton of the Midwestern promotions.
Yeah, I don't know him.
Really?
Huh. Like, well, I only, like, watched, like, the Midwest promotions for maybe, like, a few years before I stopped watching. Because I haven't seen stuff from AAW and AIW in, like, a long time.
All right, well, he's been wrestling a lot of those things. I think he wrestled a few of the Wrestling is Heart things that were kind of related to Chikara for a while. I believe he was doing a Falcon's Arrow into a back cracker for a while as a move, which, if it was him, I remember seeing it like, holy shit, that was awesome. Let me see if there's any other promotions you may have heard of that he's worked. But yeah, he's, but you know who Davey Vega is, right?
Yeah, I know who Davey Vega is.
Yeah, they've been tag teaming for quite a while.
Oh, okay.
But he's been wrestling for about 8 years, so. So, yeah. But I guess he's mostly known as an AAW guy. I think he's a... Oh, this is an old picture of him because he doesn't have a fucking goatee. Oh, he might have also started out in Texas, too. But I don't know if Texas wrestling scene is still a thing, because I think Anarchy Championship Wrestling closed a while ago.
Did it?
Cause I thought it was still running about Anarchy.
I thought it was still running from at least a year ago.
Oh well, it might be.
It might have, because I know like ACH was still doing stuff there.
I mean, I'm pretty sure there's wrestling promotions there, but I don't remember Anarchy. I haven't heard anything about Anarchy in the longest time.
Yeah, and then there's a Wrestle Circus.
Oh, yeah, okay, so yeah, Wrestle Circus is keeping it alive. Yeah. It's also, Fetch is also Pro Wrestling Revolver, Beyond Wrestling, Shikara. It also says WWE here. I don't know if it's, maybe he did, maybe he's been a jobber on some of the stuff, probably.
Yeah, most likely.
Yeah. Him and Davey Vega has probably one of the most popular Midwest tag teams right now. So, if you've never heard of him, Matt Fitchett, one of the top little, one of the guys on the indie scene that's doing pretty well for himself. Alright, so that's that. And in some news, I don't know if this is his name, but there's a rapper called Brockhampton or something like that.
It's not a rapper, it's a boy band.
Alright.
Okay, it's very confusing, because it's like some weird shit. It's fucking like indie hipster shit that people have jumped on now. Like, it's just a whole big ass collective of like black, white, and Hispanic kids. They're rapping and singing and shit like that. It's not pop, but they consider themselves a boy band. They call themselves a boy band. It's not pop. It's hip hop, but they're a boy band.
All right, I didn't really look into him, but yeah, he popped up on this thing.
You should check it out. Like, the music's not bad. It's just that I just don't feel like getting into it.
Yeah, no. But some guy I followed on Instagram pointed out that Brockhampton sampled one of Yujiro's old pimp themes for a song.
Oh, really? Nice.
Yeah, so they used a part of the Yujiro, one of Yujiro Takahashi's themes. So I thought that was an interesting thing of note. So, yeah, that is pretty much all I have for wrestling news.
All right, so I guess it's my turn. Congratulations to Serena Deeb. People were speculating whether she would actually be signed to the WWE as a wrestler again. Turns out she is signed, but as a performance center coach.
That's pretty good. She had like what was she doing? Was it yoga or something? It was some sort of physical fitness thing she was involved in.
I don't know if it was yoga or Pilates or some shit. One of those things.
Yeah. Well, it's still good for her, and that would probably be good for training to have someone who specializes in that.
Yeah. So big ups to them for that. Kavita Devi, she finally reported to the performance center last week. If you don't remember her, she was part of the Mae Young Classic, the big, tall Indian, John, very green. I think she was trained by Kali.
I thought she was already there. That's interesting.
Yeah, I thought she was already there. I think she signed, but she was still in India or something like that. They were probably
Some visa issues.
She must have had some visa issues or whatever that they had to work out. But yeah, she finally reported last week. I think it was last Friday, I believe. Yeah.
Random depressing news. Apparently, there was another school shooting today.
Oh yeah, in Florida this time, Broward County. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because all this point out is that it was another AR-15 use of AR-15.
Yeah, it was in Broward County or some shit. Probably some fucking punk that got jilted on fucking Valentine's Day, so he wanted to create his own fucking Valentine's Day massacre. What a piece of shit.
Yeah, this is a fucking idiot nonsense.
What a fucking asshole, dude.
Man, I'm gonna be honest. These white people are going crazy. Well, these white men are going even crazier than normal.
Oh, most definitely. Like, actually, if it's in Broward County, there's a chance it could actually be a Hispanic dude.
Well, that guy is definitely, all the Hispanics are like, man, the fuck.
Yeah, we don't claim him.
Yeah. No, he was Zimmerman to them. You know, like Zimmerman.
Oh yeah, he was that's right.
Half Hispanic, Zimmerman. But none of the Hispanics wanted shit to do with him, and the white people were happy to claim him.
Right. Yeah.
They're going to be like, he ain't Hispanic, but he had a Hispanic. No. He could just be related to a Spaniard. Could still be white. Congrats to the NRA social media manager on their upcoming 6-day weekend. Oh, my God. Oh my! We're averaging one school shooting every 60 hours. What the fuck? All right, I'm sorry. That's some bullshit. All right, I'm sorry to interrupt, but that was just frustrating.
Yeah, yeah, that shit was crazy. In lighter news, John Cena officiated a wedding last Friday. And I believe it was on the Today Show. So that's big ups to him. And he is also supposed to be hosting the Kids' Choice Awards. And there's this weird, very bizarre promo where, like, you know, like, remember that movie, the movie Nutty Professor?
Yeah.
Where Eddie Murphy was playing all of his relatives.
Even though the studio at the time didn't do that. They thought that those scenes were stupid.
Oh, yeah, they were dumb as shit.
Didn't want them to do it at all. Did you see hear about that?
No.
No, the guy who directed the movie actually did the makeup test to film it and show it to the studio to prove to them that those scenes had to be in the film. But they originally wanted it to be cut out of the script.
Oh, okay. Huh.
Yeah. Random bit of movie trivia for all of y'all.
Yeah, so apparently John Cena did a similar bit where, like, it's him, his parents, his grandmother, maybe his young sister and brother, and, like, the fucking dog, and all of them are John Cena. And I think, yeah, I think even a baby, too. So there's a baby John Cena also. And then it was hinted at basically them showing up to the Kids' Choice Awards. So he may be showing up in, like, different costumes and all that weird shit. So, oh, yeah.
Did you get this Dolph Ziggler news that just came, broke or something? I don't know.
No. The one thing I heard was that he was allegedly getting a sweetheart deal from the WWE.
Well, the guy, I guess someone's commented on it. It said it's reportedly $1.5 million per year for 2 years.
Huh. Okay.
That's pretty good for a guy who never wins the big one.
Oh, that's right. That's some good fucking money. So he must be of some fucking benefit to them if they're offering him that much fucking money still.
Yeah.
Or they're too afraid of letting him go at this point.
I mean, I don't know. I don't see Dolph Ziggler being the guy who could translate like even Cody did, because
Cody was an outlier too, for the fact that immediately after he left, he joined the fucking Bullet Club.
You know? Yeah, and even before that, you were doing the dream matches, and he sort of has perfected this sort of comic book villainous about him now. Yeah. I don't know how Dolph Ziggler would adapt, because every time I look at Cody, I'm just waiting for someone to run up and punch him in the fucking face. And plus, Cody Rhodes has Brandi Rhodes, so
yeah, that's
true. It's even, you know. So he's a villain, and he's got his maul or his mole. I forget how you pronounce that.
I don't know.
And they're killing it on the social media too.
Yeah,
Dolph Ziggler doesn't strike me as a social media guy I want to follow with his conservatism.
Yeah. I stopped dealing with him when I saw a lot of that conservative bullshit that he was posting. I just fucking couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah. I mean, and Cody Rhodes himself is a Republican, but he's one of those moderate Republicans, and he doesn't really... I mean, and he rarely talks about politics, and even when he does, it's almost more liberal than anything else. He just happens to look like a Republican supervillain.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Last week I talked that Real Hero was closed.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations, they have been replaced with Pearl Wrestle Dream.
Nice.
PearlWrestleDream.wordpress.com.
Nice.
Go there. Every new thing has an article for itself. You can click the article. It'll tell you the name of the show, who's on the show, and links. Now, some of these links will just take you to the official streaming service. But companies that have official streaming service, they'll take you to at least one link for the show that's up. Like, some of them are still being hosted by Google, but they're linking to OpenLoad and StreamMango. So,
oh, okay.
I used it once to download the Ice Ribbon show, So it's like I said, it's cool that it's also easier to search engine the stuff too. So, and there's like a side panel that has a list of all the wrestling companies they're following, so you can just click that and it'll bring up all the options for that company. So if you still want to follow Japanese indie wrestling, and at this point the only major Japanese company without a streaming service is going to end up being Noah soon, you'll be able to follow that stuff. So, yeah, it's pretty good to use right now. So check it out, Pearl Wrestle Dream.
Okay. Fantastic. Alright, what else? What else is there? Apparently, Celeste Bonin, if you remember her, aka Caitlyn, she actually returned to wrestling. I think it's been like 4 years, and she finally decided that she wanted to do a little bit more, so she, her first event in years was at Coastal Championship Wrestling, and I have no idea where the fuck that place is.
I think there was a video clip of her putting someone through a table.
Oh, really? Huh.
I think so. I saw something with her, I thought it was that one, but...
Yeah. And then,
She still looks like she can knock a bitch out. So.
Oh yeah, because she was always that like fitness model / bodybuilder type, and like even after she left the WWE, she was still like getting in shape for that type of stuff because she was doing photo shoots and all that. So it's not surprising. Yeah, not surprising at all. And then speaking of women. We forgot about the announcement that Ivory is now being inducted into the Hall of Fame. Very cool. So she was one of the original Glow Girls. I had no idea that was a thing. Like, she was actually one of the original Glow Girls.
Yeah, she was probably one of the only ones to continue wrestling afterwards.
Yeah, that's right. Because were most of them actually like actor types?
Yeah, most of them were not wrestlers, but I don't think Ivory was a wrestler before Glow. I'll look it up.
So she probably just found the passion for it and just kept going, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing that people don't realize about Glow is Glow was still successful before it closed. It closed because of a woman's jealousy, more or less.
Really?
The guy who owned it at the time, I think his wife didn't want him owning a women's wrestling promotion. There's a documentary, and they said that, I mean, that the ratings were mostly still pretty good throughout the whole thing, but it came down to ownership issues, which is what...
Wow, that's kinda terrible.
Yeah, women's wrestling could have been completely different today if it had kept going. Let's see if there's something about that. Yeah. The wrestler, approximately 8 matches per live event, the show itself, yeah. Where is the ownership thing about... Whatever. The documentary goes into it very particularly, and the documentary is pretty good because I actually watched it with my some family members who didn't watch wrestling, but we were flipping through channels looking for shit, and we landed on it, and I told them what it was, and they're like, yeah, we can watch this to see what it is, and they thought it was pretty interesting. So oh, here we go, alumni. Where is what's Ivory's full name?
Ivory, is it Moretti or Morelli?
Cynthia Peretti? No, that's not.
No, it starts with an M, the last name.
Issa Moretti, got it. Yeah. Her wrestling name was Tina Ferreira, and she was in the first 2 seasons. All right, so let's see. Did she start with Glow? Where are you? She's from Inglewood, California. Huh. Did not know that. She's a Cali girl. What? All right. She was at University of Southern California. And she was dragged to the audition for the newly formed Glow. She was successful in her audition, went to train with Mondo Guerrero for 6 weeks. She also defeated Colonel Nonochka to win the vacant Glow Championship, represented by a crown, so she was the champion. She later wrestled for Powerful Women of Wrestling and the Ladies Professional Wrestling Association, then worked for UWF. And then she joined the WWE in 1999. So I think there's like a few years between wrestling for GLOW and Indies and then WWE. So maybe she went back to school or something, or maybe she kind of dropped out and then returned. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. So, I mean, and some of the women on this list of GLOW wrestlers have links, so maybe some of the other ones continued wrestling. You want to go on? I'll look up some of these other women.
Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah, let me keep going. You know, we talked about Matt Riddle and the various events that he's going to and even hosting himself. But, yeah, apparently Vice did an interview on him. And Triple H was mentioned in it. There was some weird exchange, apparently, with him and Triple H. But all in all, the WWE option is still open for him. The New Japan option is still open for him. The only problem is the weed. As yeah. Stephen A. Smith says, stay off the weed. but yeah, that's the only thing holding him back. So, he said if New Japan calls, he'll stop. He'll just put the weed aside and go to Japan. If WWE offers him something, he'll basically stop smoking weed altogether for the right price.
Yeah, because he's probably making a lot of money right now as an indie guy.
Yeah.
Huh. All right. I'm still going through these names. You got anything else?
Yeah, somebody mentioned Randy Orton and his heavy conservative likes. You know what? Because like he not only does he like a lot of like posts from like Donald Trump, he also likes posts from freaking Ben Shapiro. You know that conservative pundit. You ever heard of him before?
I try to avoid the conservative pundits because some of them are just fucking crazy.
Yeah, he's like this like conservative pundit slash like New York Times best-selling author and shit.
It's like anybody could be a New York Times best-selling author. Because there's a lot of crazy people out there.
Yeah.
And this one isn't that important. I did see that they talked about him on Breitbart, which is just like, so a bunch of Nazis like you. You are now officially the favorite wrestler of white supremacists. You know, until they find out you have like so you had a black girlfriend one time, huh?
So bright people love Randy Orton.
No, there was a link about him on about wrestling as being family friendly, and they used a picture of him as the main source or something like that.
Really?
So there was an article on Breitbart with a picture of Randy Orton about WWE's family-friendly attitude, and I'm like, you're using a fucking picture of Randy Orton? I mean, it's bad enough you're talking about, you know, this, but really? Fuck you.
Yeah.
Randy Orton hasn't been important in... Hold on. Randy Orton's just not important. I can't think of the last time. I'm looking up some of these women, and some of them have continued wrestling. Let's see who we got from the GLOW days. We had Trudy Adams, who played Amy, the father, farmer's daughter, who was one of the more popular ones. And I think she would continue to wrestle for American Wrestling Association, AWA, afterwards, which I believe WWE owns all the AWA footage, I think.
Oh, really? Did you?
I think so. I don't know who owns the AWA footage. Or maybe they co-own it with ESPN, because I know for a minute ESPN was airing old AWA stuff for a while. Let me see. Do they have... the AAW tape library was acquired by World Wrestling Entertainment. Okay. Well, and their ownership... and they released the best of in 2006. So yeah, the farmer's daughter was wrestling, and there was another farmer's daughter, Babe the farmer's daughter, or Ursula Hated. Uh, And oh, she actually she owns the rights to Glow now?
Huh.
Okay, so she, Ursula Hayden, I guess, now technically owns the legal rights to the name Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. Huh. So that's interesting. She also did some television stuff. She was on Married with Children. But, you know, a lot of pretty women were on Married with Children. Hayden also was involved with the documentary about Glow. With the documentary, Hayden started working with writers on creating a new Glow television show. So she was partially, I guess she's also one of the producers on the current Netflix show.
Huh.
And then she also did something with on The Bachelor. So a woman who was part of Glow ended up being the series consultant and won ownership of the name, I guess. So, yeah. She kept going. Olympia Hardware. She had a bunch of wrestling nicknames. She continued, she actually worked for World Wrestling Federation, under her real name in 1987. She worked for AWA as well. She continued wrestling for some years. So, yeah. She's not completely retired, apparently, so I guess she makes occasional appearances.
Oh, wow.
So, she's still at it. Jan Bassone, she was best known by her name Hollywood. Hollywood was the first Glow girl hired by the founder of the company. And she worked as a tag, quite frequently as a tag team partner of wrestler Vine. And,
Hollywood and Vine?
Yeah. And then Vine quit, and then she ended up teaming up with Broadway Rose. So, I don't know. The joke is there. After the cancellation of Glow, she appeared in several all-female promotions. And then she did some television. Also showing up on Married with Children. It says she was in Me, Myself, and Irene as well, somewhere. She was on In Living Color, Saved by the Bell, JAG, Days of Our Lives. She also played the character Jane in the infamous Panasonic 3DO game, Plumbers Don't Wear Ties. I don't know what the fuck that is.
What the fuck does that even mean?
I don't know. This was a romantic comedy graphic adventure, adult-oriented for the 3DO video game system.
Oh, God, it's one of those... Is it like one of those weird point-and-click ones? Because they used to have that type of weird...
Yeah, shit. It's kind of point-and-click, but it's with actual filmed footage.
Yeah, so that's... It's
choose-your-own-adventure thing with video, yeah.
Yeah, they do, yeah. The point-and-click is... Yeah, those adult-themed point-and-click ones always had, like, the actual, like, video footage type deal. Yeah, it looked really weird.
Yeah, the game is on the list of worst games ever made.
Nice.
So, good for her. Alright, so, just that one. Alright, this is... Oh, I already went through that. Let's look at the other ones. There we go, Emily Dole. Ooh, this was the big woman, Mount Fiji. She died a few years ago? Yeah,
She died last year.
No, she died at the beginning of this year, January 2nd.
Oh, that's right. Well, it's close enough.
Yeah. Yeah, so RIP if we forgot to mention that. She was also apparently a track and field star for a period of time.
Huh.
Yeah. She had a health problem. She also has a certain filmography. She was in Mama's Family, Hard Time on Earth. She did a feud. Shut up in something called Son-in-Law. And that really just counts as it. And then Cynthia Peretti, she was actually a wrestler before Glow. She ended up being one of the trainers, too. So she was mainly a trainer, and she would occasionally compete. And then she also worked for AWA and briefly for WWE. But she was herself was trained by Prince Pullins and Dick the Bruiser and made her debut in 1968. So she was wrestling before Glow. And then Tiffany Million, I save this one aside because this is interesting, because Tiffany Million, after her career in Glow, she became a porn star.
Ew.
I'm joking.
Hey, I support anybody trying to make that money.
Hey, man. I guess.
She entered the porn industry in 92. She made about 100 films, including one called Below, Beautiful Ladies of Wrestling.
Oh, God, of course. Gotta have the parody shit.
Yeah, she had a production company of herself, directed some of her films, which I guess in the 90s was still kind of rare. I think there's more women directing porn now than there was at the time. Yeah. She was one of the first adult female stars profiled in her own issue of Carnal Comics line, autobiographical comic books. I had never heard of that. She does acknowledge that she was involved with women in her personal life, and for a time in the mid-90s, she had a relationship with porn actress and fellow Carnal Comics star Jill Kelly. After getting an inheritance, she quit the adult business. Okay, that makes sense. Uh-oh, she's a libertarian, but she's also I don't know what an individualist feminist is. Also, I think you can be a libertarian if you have money.
If you're a libertarian, most likely you're some type of, white person that's a little higher than, definitely white collar, most likely.
Yeah. Libertarians are weird, because some of the stuff kind of I don't like taxes, too, but, someone posted some shit on Twitter where they were, debating who's going to be the new president of the Libertarian Party, and there was some guys who were like, why do you need need a license to drive? And I'm like, these guys are fucking idiots.
Yeah, yeah. I saw that one. That guy is a fucking idiot.
Yeah. She today goes by her name, Sandra Margo Escort, and is a bounty hunter and private investigator. According to the website, she refuses to answer questions about her former career, which makes sense. She was featured on the TV show Wife, Mom, Bounty Hunter, which appeared on Wii, and she also appeared on the documentary After Pornins. So I think this woman deserves a actual autobiographical pick. I want to see the movie about the woman who starts as a wrestler, becomes a major porn star, and then turns to a bounty hunter private eye. That is a fucking movie. Why isn't this a TV series? This is money. I want to see this TV series. Put this shit on Showtime.
Yeah.
Come on. That is one hell of a life for a wrestler. Tiffany Millie. I don't think she was in the Glow documentary, though. She might have been. But, yeah. All right. So, those are the names of women who are who went a little bit beyond or had more to do after the Glow. All
right. And then, going back to the 80s, there apparently is a wrestler who witnessed an unsolved murder. Murders.
Oh,
in 1987, August 23rd, to be exact, 17-year-old Kevin Ives and 16-year-old Don Henry were brutally murdered in Alexander, Arkansas, while hunting. To cover up the murder, they were placed on railroad tracks where a Union train ran them over hours later.
God damn! Of course,
no fucking evidence could be obtained from that shit. For three decades, residents of the county basically tossed around their theories, their conspiracy theories, yada, yada, yada. There have been multiple books written about it, even basically a episode on Unsolved Mysteries. You know that show.
Yeah. I didn't really watch it when it was on, but sometimes you would just watch reruns because this is back when you had 11 channels to choose from, and cable was
that basic cable package. Yeah.
And it's like people who still weren't sure about cable. I ain't paying this much. I got all my television. I don't need to watch HBO, because that was really it. Cable was HBO and Nickelodeon.
Yeah. So, that same year, 5 months prior, a wrestler by the name of B. Jack Haynes was competing against Hercules at WrestleMania 3.
Wow.
So 5 months after competing in WrestleMania 3, he's a witness to these murders. This Billy Jack Haynes finally steps forward and says, yes, I saw it, because he was hired by an Arkansas politician to be security for a drug deal that was going down nearby, near the train tracks, basically. And he's basically promoting this on a GoFundMe, basically raising funds for the families to help with the investigation. And even one of the mothers of the dead sons
She's basically talked to the news and basically saying that, said that, yeah, she's talked to him, and basically the reason that he's waited so long is because of the industry that he was in, wrestling. Besides wrestling, also, he was heavy in the drug game at that point. And
so he didn't want to incriminate himself.
So basically now, he's basically doing this now to kind of just make things right while he can, quote unquote. So
sounds like he's worried he's going to die soon.
Yeah, it looks like it.
Looks those like deathbed either, confessions
either,
happening.
Either dead or incarcerated, so he's like, fine, might as well. So that is very interesting. It's a dude who actually witnessed a murder that was actually wrestling at WrestleMania against a relatively known wrestler by the name of Hercules. So, very interesting. Yeah. And then, speaking of wrestlers popular back in the day, Ric Flair has been caught in the crossfires of the Me Too movement a little bit. Because people have pointed out how he's tweeting Me Too and Time's Up while he's had instances of misconduct himself. There was this one instance where I think they talked about it openly before, how he would be on the plane and like he would be wearing his robes with like nothing inside, and he would like mess with the stewardesses. Allegedly, some stewardesses like were actually coerced into grabbing his genitals. Allegedly.
Yeah, I mean, it's Ric Flair. I assume that he wasn't exactly on the up, not necessarily, you know, a terrible person, right, but some of typical male behavior of the time, and especially of, you know, his was an era. Image that he represented.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So, if I was Ric Flair, I would have just stayed out of it.
I mean, he should have kept Flair, the fucking mouth.
You know, if you didn't say anything, no one would have pointed out.
But yeah, exactly. No one. But, yeah, but they have now, and Offset even has a song called Ric Flair Drip that actually made the top 100. Yeah, Ric Flair Drip. That's I think that's on the Hot 100 right now. Yeah. And then what else? So besides that, he used to sign. Okay, apparently he had consent forms, sexual consent forms that he would have women sign, or whatever. Allegedly, I don't, because you know how his escapades have been wildly exaggerated and shit.
Was this before or after Dave Chappelle's sex
contract?
Probably
before. I don't know, but
it was before. I'm thinking Dave Chappelle must have heard about that shit.
He might have. But yeah, he was selling autographed sexual consent forms on his website, but since being exposed with this, all this other shit, and I guess trying to clean up his image a little bit, he's removed all of that. So, yeah, all of that shit's out there. Speaking of shitbags, another bit of news, I think I have this one and then one more. Jerry Lawler, apparently he had a rape case in 1993. Did you know this?
No, but as I've learned, there are people involved in the WWE that had allegations of rape, labeled to them that I never known, which now is kind of the point where it's like, well, they just stop watching wrestling altogether to avoid all this, really, yeah. Now.
Who else has been, like...
Vince McMahon.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, like his was a sexual assault case. I think he had some lady grab his genitals like in a tanning booth.
No. This was a rape.
Oh, there was a rape case. What year was that?
Let me look it up. But there. You remember the show Hard Copy?
Yeah.
There was an actual thing about it on there, but I believe Vince McMahon and the weight of WWE, pretty much. Got rid of it. I remember the woman's first name was Rita.
Oh, WWE doesn't.
Yeah, it's hard to find this information too, because a lot of it's kind of been almost removed from Google. There are very few people talk about it.
Yeah.
She was the first female referee. She was a female referee. Let's see if I can find this fucking thing. Vince McMahon, female Rita female ref. See, pops up. Because someone pointed it out, and they were saying, you know, you have, it's like, you get mad at all these companies, but you'll still get the WWE Network if Vince McMahon was raped. Okay, here it is. Rita Chatterton accused Vince McMahon of rape on old TV show titled, oh, okay, this wasn't Arc, I mean, this was something else called Now It Can Be Told with Geraldo Rivera.
Geraldo, yeah. See, and that's the thing that makes it funny to me, because it's fucking Geraldo.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that, he has, for years, he's been, like, behind, like, sensationalized, like, stories and other shit that, what was that one with fucking Al Capone? Remember that one infamous shit with Al Capone? Al Capone's, like, vault or some shit. And, like, they opened up some vault, and they found out there was nothing in it. Remember that shit?
No, I don't remember that one, but...
Yeah, it was, like, infamous.
I know Rivera is kind of a bitch, so...
Yeah, but, like, I don't know. See, like, I want to believe the victim, but at the same time, she went to fucking Geraldo.
Well, Vince claims that this was all part of a giant extortion lawsuit, or that they were being extorted for hush money. And then there was some other stuff going on. They left a conspiracy accusations against ex-WWF wrestler David Schultz, who was then a bounty hunter, captured bond hunters, and how he was somehow involved in this. Sounds a little bit more complicated, but the McMahon's suit kind of acknowledged it. They denied it. It also says it was revealed that Linda McMahon kept Rita, who accused of rape, employed longer than Geraldo had reported. To keep this and lawsuits hidden, WWE lawyers threatened anyone in 2010 that published these accusations. No one really knows where she is. She was one of their first female refs. So, like I said, the details aren't really that well known. I mean, and at the time, Geraldo was, I don't know if Geraldo was as much of an asshole then as he is now.
Well, everybody, like, I don't think he was as an asshole back then, but everybody kind of knew that he was a little bit of a phony, you know?
Yeah.
But because of his sensationalized stories, he's able to find and maintain work, you know? And his, of course, name recognition and all that jazz and shit, you know? It's whatever.
It's a little bit says here, she was, about her. She was a single mother. This woman brought her in and hired her, said she could make pretty good money. Allegedly told her she could make up to $500,000 a year as the first female ref. That's a lot of money. This was in 86 when she was fired. The official reason was that she wasn't on par with her male counterparts, which sounds like a fucking stupid reason.
Oh, yeah, they do. They pull that shit all the time. Like, yeah. You know, these old white dudes love to pull that shit. Like anybody who's not a white guy, they're saying that you're not up to par with them. Somehow. Some way, somehow.
All right, so... It was an assault, but it wasn't rape, because I guess she got him off of her while he was attacking her, but it apparently happened in a limousine. This, allegedly. The former WWE wrestler, Dr. D. David Schultz, corroborated her story. There was a lawsuit or whatever. The suit was later dropped after McMahon faced federal charges in his famed steroid trial.
Oh, yeah.
So that kind of, I think that overshadowed a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, so, details are really, there's not much. And then, you know, this was a different era, so the news reporting on this, was very different. I mean, and I guess this story pops up every year, but it's not being heavily reported. And, obviously, a lot of people don't want to talk about it. Oh, and I guess there's some, then there's stories. Michelle McGurk, she abruptly left WWE in 1993. There was a story that she left because she refused McMahon's advances. She has since refuted that claim. Something about Andy Rick here. has decided to take the women's title back. Rear had claimed she was still under contract when was trying to get the matches. Okay, maybe this is just his problems with women.
Yeah.
So he just screwed her over. Problems with the lunge of Blaze. You know, I'm pretty sure there's probably more, but, you know.
But of course, there was also incidents.
Sable had actually filed a lawsuit for sexual harassment and unsafe work conditions against the WWE.
Who?
Sable.
Sable, oh, really? Huh.
Yeah, it says Sable WWE and filed a $110 million lawsuit citing sexual harassment and unsafe working conditions.
Was that before or after she came back?
The lawsuit was actually settled out of court, and she was invited back to WWE, so that's...
Oh, so this was before she came back.
Probably. Nicole Bass's thing... she abruptly left WWE and filed a sexual harassment lawsuit claiming that a WWE officially sexually assaulted her. The lawsuit went to trial and was eventually dismissed. Doesn't say who.
Huh.
But I think some people believe it might have been Vince. I don't know how true that is.
Well,
so there is
those little big muscles.
Yeah, so there is there have been issues labeled at Vince. But it's WWE, so no one's really talking about it because that's like the pinnacle company.
Mm. Yeah. But as far as Jerry Lawler goes, so his was in 93. It eventually got tossed out, but what's even more gross about it is the fact that he wrote a letter to the prosecutor, trying to discredit the victim, basically stating that the victim was, quote-unquote, openly performing lesbian acts in public.
This is a go-to move to some people to discredit their accusers.
So basically, because the person was actually acting sexually in public, there's no way I could have touched them and it wouldn't be rape or whatever. So I don't know if he tried to claim that it was consensual or something like that. Whatever.
Yeah, like, it kind of reminds me of the Errol Flynn case from like the 30s or 40s, where he was on trial for statutory rape with two women, and his prosecutor like pointed to one of the women, like, "Look at her, she's not even that pretty."
Oh, Jesus
Christ. And you know, he was a sex symbol at the time, and they filled the court with women admirers of Errol Flynn.
Oh, Jesus.
So his rape charges got thrown out because the women were not going to send Errol Flynn to jail. Even though they didn't know he was also a carrier of both malaria, gonorrhea, and maybe some other diseases.
Oh, my God.
Oh, the Errol Flynn story was fucking crazy. They did it in Australia because he's from Australia, right? And halfway through, they had a guest comedian, and he was like, "When you said you were doing Errol Flynn, I thought this was going to be a nice, happy story because Australian history's fucked up. But what the hell?" And by the end of the story where Errol Flynn dies, the Australian crowd cheered.
Oh.
Like, and they say he's the reason for Jamaica being a tourist destination, but what they don't tell you is he was fucking underage boys and girls all the time while he was down there.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, yeah, Errol Flynn, piece of shit.
Oh,
which
God.
Is why I still debate whether or not I actually want to watch the movie Robin Hood when it pops up on TCM. Because I hear it's like one of the greatest movies ever made, but then I'm like, ah, fuck Errol Flynn.
Ew.
But his first wife got the greatest divorce settlement deal of any woman ever. Her lawyer finessed the shit out of that.
Jeez.
Like, he had to pay her a fixed rate that would increase if his salary ever increased.
Oh,
and they never paid factored in taxes, so she kept suing him for the tax differential.
Jesus.
Because she kept moving up money brackets. And then when he died, he just married somebody who worked, I think was the co-owner of fucking Eskimo Pie.
Jesus.
So she was rich, and then when he died, she's like, "Well, it's time to be rich again. We're getting married."
Wow, so she was really in it for the money. Damn.
Well, yeah, and apparently their marriage was horrible. They got into fist fights.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, Errol Flynn was a piece of shit.
Okay. Shit, I guess if you get into that, you guess you try to be financially stable. So yeah.
Yeah, he was also a crook and a slave trader.
Yeah.
Or attempted slave trader, depending on who you talk to.
Okay. In one other piece of news, an American wrestling writer named Abby. I don't know her last name.
Oh, this one.
Yeah. Apparently, she's been accused of faking a cancer diagnosis to be able to steal people's money via crowdsourcing. Apparently, this had started last year. The founder of Progress, you know, Smallman, even tweeted out support. I think the Young Bucks gave their support, too. And I think the original, like, accusation came from a random burner account. But they say that the evidence is actually pretty damning. So, do you have any more info on that?
I know she posted pictures of, like, some medical stuff saying that she had cancer. But I didn't read it too much. Because it's one of those things where I don't want to say I hope she's not lying, because then she has cancer.
Yeah.
So my attitude is, it's kind of hard to agree with some of the allegations because, you know, it's Twitter, it's wrestling Twitter, and there's a lot of shitheads.
Yeah.
So you never know if this is some fucking troll coming after her or it's true. I didn't know much about her before this, so I'm not sure what's going to happen or who I'm supposed to believe. I know right now it looks pretty bad for her, but at the same time, it's like, well, maybe those letters posted are real. I don't know. It's not like she's posting an email. She's posting a, like, printed out letter with details and addresses. I hate to say it, but I hope she has cancer.
Oh, that's
just because
fucked.
If she doesn't, this would look bad on anybody else who tries to crowdsource for that kind of stuff.
Wow. Okay. That's
I didn't find this until just recently, but Lucha Underground's taping should be happening the end of this month, 23rd, 4th, and 5th, and they have a new poll, so they're filming somewhere else. You know, if you're still following Lucha Underground, which I'm not. That break they had just fucking killed the show for me.
Huh, okay. Alright, that's it. That's what we got. So, is there nothing else?
Yep.
Watch
Black Lightning. And go see Black Panther.
It's Black Lightning. Watch Black Panther. I've heard really dope things about Black Panther. I heard Killmonger is fucking amazing in it. Like, you know, Michael B. Jordan. Yeah, his character is fucking dope, apparently. So, yeah, I'm definitely checking that out on Friday.
It's good to know that Marvel started to actually do good bad guys, finally.
Yeah.
Because the bad guys have been one of the worst fucking things. And I like the Marvel movies quite a bit, but... why the fuck are their villains so bad half the time?
Yeah. Well, people are calling it, like, calling fucking Black Panther their masterpiece. Like, Marvel's, like, first, like, legitimate masterpiece.
I think it also works that this time they don't bother to do an actual origin story. They don't really have to.
Yeah.
They can just kind of go in it, and they are seemingly giving some of the directors a bit more, room to spread, because I've liked, you know, I like Guardians, I really like Ant-Man, and I'm looking forward to this. I'm still kind of indifferent and cold to Doctor Strange. It was fine when I watched it, but I don't really have the motivation to watch it again.
Okay. Yeah, you could check us out on Rant EM Radio, rantemradio.com, Thursdays, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. You could also check out The Rant, Freaks and Different Geeks, Terrible Book of Throwbacks, yada, 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 and past episodes on the Archives tab. And for me, there's doomsday519.tumblr.com, at Joey Doomsday on Twitter, Doomsday, Space Gorilla, as in PWG Gorilla, Doomsday Gorilla on Instagram, and at Joey Doomsday 519 on Snapchat. And yeah, that's it.
I guess you can follow me on Twitter at CM Towns, where I'm not posting anything all that interesting right now.
Yeah.
On Instagram, I am westside.goth, where the last couple things I posted was just me filming some interesting from one of the women's wrestling shows I watched.
Yeah.
or most of the time I'm just posting the posters of the movies I'm about to watch. So maybe I'll watch Killer Clowns from Outer Space tonight. I don't know.
Don't got any Wednesday shows.
All right.
That's it.
And on that note, we're going to end it on a high note. So, hey, smoke weed every day.